Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by astrology and how it reflects in our daily life, in our work, in our emotions as counseling tools, in our politics, and we love sharing this with you. I'm Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from St. Paul, Minnesota, and I am joined by Mark.
Mark Woltz in New York City.
And Ann Ortley may join us later. We love working together and bring three different perspectives to astrology, but I always find it's like three people describing a mountain from different directions. It adds depth that we can see it from three different directions. Don't you find that, Mark?
Yeah. Yeah. It's
that
good.
Every astrologer can add, or every intuitive can add their own perspective, and it doesn't have to ever negate the other person. It adds new dimension and depth. That's one reason why I love working with these two, Ann Ortley and Mark Woltz. So we've got an interesting chart this week. Now, I can feel Mercury starting to slow down. Mercury's in its shadow. It's in its own sign of Gemini. And will retrograde back. Starting a couple of days ago, it hit the 4 degrees of Gemini, where it will retrograde back to. It's still moving forward, but slowing down. And on May 18th, it retrogrades until June 11th. And it will take until June 20th to get out of its shadow. But not only is Mercury slowing down, but Mercury squares Neptune this weekend. And I can really feel it beginning to get fuzzy and communicate. It's hard to get things done. It's easy to space out. Even with Mercury in its own sign, I think Mercury adds a little bit of interesting nervous energy. But it can make it hard to, I think it's even more mercurial. How are you feeling it, Mark? Have you noticed that yet?
Not in particular, but the thing to look for is communications becoming distorted or just unclear. But a lot of times distorted, and it can be deliberately distorted too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tendency, we all get a little bit lazy with the truth. There's a lack of lack of sharpness.
Well, Mercury square Neptune.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's kind of a feeling of, well, it's a little of this and it's a little of that. And,
it's approximation.
By inference and implication, I don't have to be precise. So, it's a laziness. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the deliberate twisting of what's manipulating things so that someone hears what they want to hear, but it's not really what you said.
Right.
And you're aware that they're hearing what they want to hear, and you let it go.
And Mercury is squaring Neptune direct, and then it turns retrograde, and it will square Neptune again, retrograde, around Memorial Day weekend. It's May 27th, 28th, 29th. Then it gets past it and comes back up and hits it again around June 22nd to June 25th. So going to be an interesting time, and I'm going to really ask everybody to keep looking for the truth. And if you feel there's a problem between you and your beloved, or you and somebody else, see if you can really help them find the truth, and assume that there might be a misunderstanding rather than assume that they're, start there. Start with, this must be a misunderstanding.
Yeah, start with assume it's a misunderstanding or a laziness.
Right.
Just a sloppiness. Because it's pretty easy to forgive sloppiness. You just say, let's pay better attention. you know.
I certainly noticed that. We are having the astrologer Rick Levine come in for a talk at the end of June, which I'm very excited about. But we've been having trouble getting here in Minnesota. If anybody's interested, let us know, from Star IQ fame. And we've had no trouble getting the place for him to do the big talk. We have a workshop space. And trying to book a workshop space, the phone calls just keep falling almost there. I almost reach the person. They wait 3 days to call back, and then they tell me, oh, oops, it's booked. And it's been like walking through fog, and then I have to remember to keep track of it and keep on it. And that's not been easy.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anybody else can find it's their own laziness or fogginess or just distraction, that, you know, that if there's something important, you really have to not drop the ball. You have to consciously hold on to that.
Yeah.
But I'm doing some traveling, and I'm going to be off the radio show for the next 2 weeks. I'm going to be in southwestern England visiting Avebury and Stonehenge and places that I've always wanted to go to. I've been to Avebury before. But I figure that's a pretty good use of Mercury square Neptune, back to a place that feels familiar to my soul and lost in the mists of Avalon. I mean, I'm just going to not try to do anything in particular while I'm down there, except experience.
Good. Yeah.
And, you know, this Neptune transit is excellent for just that, for intuiting, for writing your novel, for daydreaming, for vision questing. How can you use that, find a good way to be sensitive and a good way to be imaginative?
Yeah, those are very good uses for the square. And, you know, because things will come in that you don't expect. So you can really just let go and drift with whatever the thought process is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let the thoughts do the thinking.
Yeah, and I find that it's an interesting use of, with the Mercury retrograde, at this time of year when a lot of people are leaving school and going home, back to the people they used to know, back to old friends and old stomping grounds and old family problems. And I'd say just it's important during this time to choose not to go back and assume that everybody's like they were when you left. That
right.
People have changed since the last time you saw them, and you certainly have changed since the last time they saw you.
Right. So what you expect to see is going to be different from before.
Right.
What you're prepared to see, because you see everything differently.
Mm-hmm. And that can be tricky.
Oh, yeah.
So the moon's in Sagittarius tonight, and it's heading into Capricorn as the weekend begins. Friday can be a pretty efficient time to get work done, though as the moon hits Pluto that night, we may have layers of our own work to, you know, emotional efforts to work with. Saturday is a good chore time. Just watch that you have your own chores. It's kind of the honeydew problem. Don't expect your beloveds to do the list of chores that you think you have for them. They'll make so much sense to you. But I find under the Capricorn moon, people tend to move into managerial mode, but everybody does. And
right. It's the same moon for all of us.
Exactly. And they may have a very different agenda than yours. So don't assume that they'll do all the list that you have. See if you can find a compromise, trade-off. I'll do this if you do that, and see if you can find a place in between. Now, Venus has been in Gemini for a while, which I think has really helped in some of the interesting patterns that we've seen. Last weekend, I think, was a really interesting close call. We were heading into a full moon in Scorpio weekend, and I was looking at Baltimore, watching Baltimore very carefully. The day when the moon was in Libra, perfect for making peace, the district attorney for Maryland announced that they were indeed going to prosecute the police. And she said, and also that she was daughter and granddaughter of police, so she had sympathy both for the police, but felt that this was prosecuting material. And that suddenly diffused the tension in Baltimore. Because what I saw with that full moon in Scorpio is wherever people felt heard and seen, everything was fine. Where people did not feel heard and seen, I saw some real eruptions go down. And I have a feeling it was a tough time to be doing rescue work in Nepal on that full moon in Scorpio, the light, the moon bringing great light. But it's a time often when we find, you know, when we dig down and find what's underneath the rocks, and we may not like what we found. So it was an interestingly tricky time. And Venus was in Gemini, which gives us some more emotional versatility. Venus heads into Cancer tomorrow and really brings us to a much more tender and delicate emotional condition. We want to feel safer with the people that we love, and we may be a little bit more self-protective. And I think that can move into a very difficult place if you're in the middle of street protests where people get even more self-protective. But it may be very helpful in just helping us come back to our feelings at the end of a busy year for those kids who have been in school or those people that are trying to come back to their heart. How do you see Venus in Cancer?
It can help us to also be more sensitive to the needs of others.
Mm-hmm.
So we're more sensitive to our own need for protection, but also that we have a role in protecting others. And mm-hmm. I think that's the best place to exercise Venus in Cancer. So look around and see who around you needs, that little reassurance, or maybe a big reassurance,
uh-huh.
and give some help, because it's a way to connect with people. Venus shows how we form connections, whether they're romantic or just heartfelt, and when Venus is in Cancer, that's sensitive and caring and reaching out. So use that. We always have around us opportunities to lend a hand, and this is the time to do it.
Excellent. So we've got several callers on the line tonight. Let's go ahead and for the callers that are on the line, if you hit one, it raises your hand and we can call on you. I see only one person actually has raised their hand. So we're going to take callers. For those who would like to speak to us and haven't raised and want to call in, our number is 347-215-8881. And I wanted to share some feedback first from somebody that we called in a couple of weeks ago and was worried about going to court, that she had been falsely accused of a theft that she had not committed. And from looking at the charts coming in, we said it would come to nothing. First, the first trial that she went to, it came to nothing that day, quite literally, because they decided to postpone. Everybody got there, and they decided to postpone the case. Then the next time she went to court, the following week, and we were still sure that it was going to come to nothing, the case was thrown out. So we were right on that, and we're very happy for her that that did indeed happen, which is very exciting.
Good. Yeah.
And hello, 310, you're on the line. How can we help you tonight?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes.
Oh, great. Well, I'm having relationship issues, and it seems to be forever now. So I kind of wanted to see if I'm going to be comfortable at some point in my life, you know.
Can you give us your birth date and time and place?
It's August 24, 1972, and the city is called Eskişehir. It's in Turkey. It's spelled E-S-K-I-S-E-H-I-R.
S-E-H-I-R, Turkey. Okay. And do you know roughly what time you were born?
My mom thinks it's between 9 and 10.
So
I have
morning or night?
Morning. So I'm assuming around 9:30 in the morning.
9:30 a.m., okay. We think roughly we can only be a half an hour wrong then, and there's some things that's an approximate date is not good for things like astrocartography or location, but it can be fine for this. And have we talked to you before? I think it's been a while.
No, I never called before. No.
Wonderful. I just was wondering if your chart looked familiar. But it's something else. So we have you down as a Virgo, fellow Virgo, like Anna and myself, Moon in Aquarius, Libra rising, with Pluto on the 12th house. Do you know if you had a tough birth? I was wondering.
Yes. I almost died, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because you were born just as Pluto was rising. And that's very common for somebody who almost died at birth. And it kind of makes you, you know, you had to deal with life and death issues fairly early on in your life, like at birth. So you have probably not much patience with small talk and with people who get upset over small things because you had a sense of priority from the beginning. But your Venus is in Cancer. We're just talking about Venus in Cancer. And your Venus is at 15 degrees of Cancer. And Pluto is directly opposed it at the moment. And Uranus has been squaring it. So your Venus, your heart, your emotions, and your compassion have been really in the crosshairs of the last couple of years. Uranus-Pluto square has been focusing in on your ability to care and love and relationship issues. But that's going to be gone. Uranus is finally leaving that point alone. Pluto's got a few more hits on that in the next year and a half, but I feel like the worst is probably over. Jupiter's sitting right on your Mercury and helping you open your mind to some new experiences. You have that Venus-Uranus square natally. Are you done with a relationship that's been going through upheaval, or are you in the midst of the upheaval of the relationship?
I'm in the midst of the upheaval.
Yeah.
Although
it looks
not
tricky.
You know, yeah. The person is a March 29 birthday.
Okay, hold on. March 29th, what year?
1972.
And you probably don't have time or place.
It is Beirut.
Mm-hmm.
Lebanon. The time, I knew the time, I forgot. I think it was like around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a p.m. But I
1 p.m., okay. And
no, I remember he's Cancerian.
Cancerian rising. Okay. And an Aries moon in Libra, Taurus. I'm going to put this on your chart so I can see what's going on. Mark, do you have any thoughts on this combination of these two while I'm looking at this? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going back to Your question is about what's going on with relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a tricky thing, especially you do have that Venus square Uranus natally, and then you have Pluto interacting by transit now. So it's and it lines up with the Pluto Uranus square that we've been experiencing for a few years. So there's been a lot of tension, and it hasn't been, well, it's actually been sort of revolutionary tension for you. And it's going to
really changing how you do in relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And that it's going to ease up, except that you still get the Pluto hanging around, but Uranus is pulling out of the picture, which that'll help. You'll feel it'll really become more of an issue of focusing and deciding for yourself what really where you want to put your focus in terms of relationship. And it seems there's been more turmoil and in a lot of ways not enough time, well, so much time reacting to things that you weren't able to really take the actions you need. And so what you'll find is you're moving into a period where the turmoil lessens and it gives you a chance to focus on what it is you have to do. So it's a little bit like after a severe season of storms. Now there's kind of a let up and you can go out and decide, you know, what to let go of and what to keep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have a lot of new beginnings coming up in about a year and a bit. You have your progressed moon is at 27 degrees of Virgo at the moment. It's going to leave Virgo and go into relationship-oriented Libra in 3 months. In 5 months, your progressed moon conjuncts Pluto. And then your progressed moon conjuncts the sun and starts a whole new 30-year cycle in about 15 months. So after that, I think you are home free. But in this next year and a half, it's going to be a daily... It's a chance to really change how you are in relationship, all the patterns of your life. There's so many things in your life that kind of you tend to be self-protective. You're a Virgo, it's easy for you to be alone. It's not that you don't get lonely, it's just kind of a habit. So the habits of partnering are kind of new and a little difficult. And your progressed Mars is just pulling past Pluto. So last year may have been a pretty difficult year. Neptune was opposed your Mars, and your progressed Mars was conjunct Pluto. So trying to really know what you want and to advocate for what you want in a fair way that was also fair to what the other person wanted was very tricky.
Yes.
And this year, there's a little bit more room to breathe, and you kind of notice more what you need separate from what they need and have a little bit more room to negotiate. And I wouldn't bet on this relationship. There's a lot in common between the two of you. But your Aries beloved has a Moon-Pluto conjunction in Libra natally, some very lovely, charming, charismatic aspects. And when it's good, it looks like it's lovely between the two of you. And when it's difficult, you may feel like is there enough room for you in the relationship? Mm-hmm. Because he can be such a big personality and be kind of, so willful, it's a little hard for you to hear. But I have, I'm a Virgo married to an Aries. I think it can work out beautifully. And, his Aries lineup is sitting in your house of partnership. So there's some very nice things between your two charts.
I think I made a mistake. I should have said February 29th. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
it's a Pisces.
You said March. Okay. Then throw that out. Okay.
Oops.
March 29th. So all the stuff we said about you counted. What we're saying about your mate is going to be different.
And it's completely exactly.
Oh, very different. Completely a Pisces moon in Virgo with Venus in Aries and Mars in Taurus. Very different. Okay. So it's still all the things about trying to listen to yourself and work with somebody else. Both of you are very touchy about negative feedback. So sometimes it's hard to get things clear. Your partner's got Neptune right on the sun this year. And that's a tricky aspect. It's like you two may have felt like you've got lots of old karmic connections together.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little hard to see where it's going.
Yep.
If you, I would say, let go of where it's going and focus on how to live a healthy relationship together. Because you won't know for a while. You won't know if this relationship is going to make it around the corner and be with you on the other side of these transits. But if it is, it's because the two of you learned how to be fair. Your partner can be a little passive. This partner can be a little passive aggressive, and not give you the feedback that you need. Can have very strong feelings, but not always be direct about them in a way that you know what to do with.
Mm-hmm.
But there's enough connection between your two charts, his Mars at 12 Taurus to your Venus at 15 Cancer. It's a nice sextile. And the his Mars in Taurus to your Mars in Virgo ties in nicely. His Venus sextiles your Moon. There's enough connection between your two charts to say it's worth the effort. I would just say that you have to not, you know, you're the bigger personality. It's kind of the opposite from when I saw the first chart I looked at. You're the bigger personality here. So if you've got Mercury in Leo, it won't help if you try to make yourself smaller to fit this relationship. Either he has to grow and become comfortable with himself and become your mate, or there's not room enough for you in the relationship.
Yeah.
So I'd say just for the next 15 months, if you can just take it 1 week at a time and make each week work.
Yeah,
if
and
he gets,
really
try to
let go of reacting to things and waiting until you have something to react to. Rather, focus on what's the most important thing. And you can do that day by day and week by week. What's the most important thing to focus on today? And how about this week? And then, you know, set short-term goals and say, here's what we're going to do. And it could, it's for everything from fun to getting projects done.
Okay. I'm trying, but he seems to be completely lost. And because
yes,
it's a long
he is
distance,
completely lost.
Yeah, he doesn't
and,
think
and
that.
And Neptune on his son.
Yeah.
Neptune's on his son. He's going to be completely lost. But that doesn't mean he will stay completely lost. It will be a while. So what else can you do to take care of yourself? He's not with his Venus in Aries, he doesn't want to stay lost. Don't try to fix him, oh Virgo that you are. But we're going to have to close up here. Take care of yourself, do everything else you can do, stay in the moment with him, and I think you can make it. And we'll see.
Yeah.
It may be that you won't make it, but you'll learn a lot about yourself in the process. Mark?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Exactly. Yeah.
Really good
there's
luck.
A lot of growing. There's a lot of growing on both your parts. There's room to grow. And again, it's you'll accomplish that by focusing and setting, you know, short-term goals and say, here's what's the most important thing. And, you know, don't get worked up about other things. You know, just say, well, that's not as important. The things that are not as important, just leave them aside.
So we just heard that we have only seconds left. This is Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota, joined by Mark.
Mark Waltz, New York City.
And
thanks
you can find us through our websites, and we'll see you next week.
Okay.
Good night.